When you think about the jobs of the future, what comes to mind?
Robot psychologist?
I would like to express an opinion.
You have my permission?
You are a quack.
What?
A quack.
Well, as long as I get a robot cleaner first. The point is that the future is all about tech. And with the mining boom ending, the jobs of the future don't seem that far away.
Australia's economy is going through a huge transition now, and many people believe that technology is the key. It's called a knowledge economy, and it means that rather than building physical things, we can build virtual ones.
Rather than printing maps, we can code apps.
This transition is already underway. There are thousands of people across the country working on apps and websites. I'm Ellen Liebeder.
And I'm Josh Nicholas.
We've been investigating Australia's emerging knowledge economy. How hard is it to get started in Australia? What are the challenges tech entrepreneurs face? And how can we make it easier?
We learned in the first segment of this series there are heaps of challenges facing entrepreneurs. And if we want a knowledge economy, we're going to need every startup we can get.
Today we want to look at finance. The founders we've been talking to have all complained about finding investments to start and grow their business. Here's James Cooter, founder of Hobart-based Savage Interactive. We talked to him in the first segment.
When we closed the company down, we were left with about, after all, everything had been paid, we were left with about $20,000 in the bank. And we decided, well, we're going to just use that.
Now, $20,000 sounds like a pitiful sum when you compare it to the millions and even billions some American startups can raise.
And probably the biggest difference is that they can raise this cash long before they have any revenue. Just think of Snapchat. It was raking in millions in investments long before ads popped up.
And there are thousands of stories like this in America. In the first 3 months of this year alone, American venture capitalists plowed more than $13 billion into American startups. To put that in perspective, Gina Reinhart is worth about $12 billion.
But don't just listen to us and James whinge about it. Here's Belle Beth Cooper. She's the co-founder of a relatively new Melbourne-based startup called HelloCode. HelloCode face similar concerns with getting funding.
Whenever we've talked to anyone about the possibilities for getting funding in Australia, we generally run into the same theme about investors, which is that Australian investors are very conservative and don't like to take big risks. I need a dollar, dollar,
dollar, that's what I need. Belle has an interesting point there. Australia isn't exactly short on cash. Because of our superannuation system, we have some of the largest funds anywhere in the world. Why aren't our startups swimming in investments?
It's a good question. I took it to Aaron Berkby. He's a co-founder of an incubator on the Gold Coast. We'll take a closer look at incubators in a later segment, but basically they are organizations that tech startups go to for advice and contacts. Anyway, here's Aaron on why superannuation funds aren't investing in our tech startups.
It's really hard, right? So for super funds to be interested, yeah, super funds are massive. So when they write a check, it's for $100 million plus. So their cost of doing due diligence and all that, there's no interest in them doing small fry stuff. So really the only model for them to move into this space would be to be throwing money into venture capital funds. So some other fund manager that then manages that investment.
So to clear up a couple of points here, our superannuation funds are so massive that they can't really afford to make small bets on a bunch of startups.
Right. In the United States, what a superannuation fund would do is give their money to what's called a venture capitalist. Basically someone that specializes in investing in really small companies.
And the reason why Australia doesn't have venture capitalists? Well, Aaron has the answer for that too.
We just have a really bad history of returns for VCs in the country, so it's no wonder people don't want to invest in that asset class.
So we wanted to find an Australian investor. Do they agree that Aussie investors are conservative? What do they look for in a company? How many startups do they turn away?
I have just the man.
Hi, I'm Benjamin Chong. I'm a partner at Right Click Capital.
Right Click Capital is a Sydney-based investment firm, and they're focused on exactly what we're talking about, tech startups.
So is he investing in things left, right and centre?
No. Benjamin says that Australian investors are so risk adverse. For example, his company invested in just 5 of the more than 200 applications that they received last year. That said, he thinks the tide is turning.
I'd say that the tide is turning. It might be a bit slow for some, but I think things are changing.
But it still isn't enough to just have a good idea.
I'd say that when it comes to ideas, many of us have them. We wake up, we might have an idea, we might get the bus, we have an idea. And if the idea is from someone who does have a proven track record, from a team of people who have a proven track record, and who can demonstrate that that idea does seem to meet a need that is faced by many people, this big market, then yes, it is possible. But generally speaking, there are things that can be done to demonstrate that that idea is more than something on a sheet of paper.
So it's more than just the quality of the idea. Benjamin's basically saying that he's not just backing the idea, but the people behind it as well.
We look for a number of things, but the first thing that makes us have our ears prick up would be the quality of founders. So we like founders who have some sort of track record, preferably. Founders who have either a combination of business, of technical, and of some domain experience.
So, some hope for budding tech entrepreneurs then?
Well, yeah. And we've heard from some of the other people that we've talked to that American investors are starting to come to Australia to invest in our companies. So, the ball is rolling.
That's all for now. Keep your ears peeled. Next time, we'll be taking a look at some of the other challenges and opportunities in Australia's knowledge economy.